From WAMU 88.5 at American University in Washington, it's The Animal House, connecting you with everything that concerns the animal world. I'm Sam Litzinger. Later, a noted animal rescuer tells the story of a sanctuary she created with a unique mission. We find out why a movie star has dedicated much of her time to protecting animals. And Dr. Gary Weitzman of the San Diego Humane Society answers your questions about pets and wildlife. First, there's proposed legislation in the U.S. Senate that aims to make it easier for people to care for furry or feathered family members in need of prescription medication. One of the two senators involved in the effort is Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, and he spoke to us recently about the plan.
We announced our support and introduction of a bill that will give all consumers the right to prescriptions automatically without they're having to ask their veterinarian. And very proud to stand with Senator Schumer in a measure that will essentially unleash consumers. They all too often are dependent on their veterinarians to provide them with a prescription, and in fact buy their prescriptions mostly from their veterinarians at substantially more cost than they would pay if they had choices and did it on their own. The most important number to remember among all the numbers that can be used about this bill is the markup, which is 240% on average for prescriptions above the wholesale price when veterinarians sell it to pet owners. By the way, 77% of pets on average need medication simply to stay healthy. So these costs are recurring for consumers, and that 240% markup is repeated again and again and again. The net effect is very practically that veterinarians will be required to give every pet owner a copy of the prescription so that that consumer can fill the prescription just as everyone else does for their own medications and buy the prescription at the lowest possible price. Consumers should have the option of shopping around, looking for the best price, which will in turn spur competition. And theory and experience tell us that the market will drive down prices. In Connecticut alone, this bill could save $123 million. So naturally, the reaction has been very supportive. There will be a companion measure in the House as well. This kind of measure passed in 2003, requiring eye doctors to provide a copy of prescriptions to any consumer purchasing contact lenses. It was supported in both the House and the Senate. It passed and drove down prices by 20%. Veterinarians do great work. They provide extraordinary care, and we ought to be grateful to them. At the same time, most pet owners, myself included, had no idea that we could fill these prescriptions wherever the medications were available. So that's the information and education factor here. And of course, pet owners really deserve that information, and they deserve the right to shop around. So the Fairness to Pet Owners Act is designed to increase awareness and opportunities and options for pet owners and give them information that will truly empower them to seek better prices.
Richard Blumenthal is a Democratic senator from the state of Connecticut. The Tennessee Walking Horse is a breed originally developed in the southern United States more than 100 years ago. Today, it's a popular show horse known for its distinctive gait. The Tennessee Walker is also at the center of a major controversy involving the practice of soaring, which many have called cruel and inhumane. One of the leading voices against horse soaring is actress Priscilla Presley, who has a long history of animal advocacy, including her days as host of a pioneering network television program. She recently spoke with Wayne Pacelli of the Humane Society of the United States about her current work protecting horses, homeless pets, and farm animals, her legendary former husband, and the roots of her advocacy.
Priscilla, you know, I loved animals ever since I was a kid. Where did your love of animals stem from?
I was picking up strays from the street, finding them, you know, people abandoning them. I would bring them home. I would hide them in my closet first. And the giveaway was I was eating much more than I ever eat. So my mother caught me. I was hiding. I would sit on the food that we ate, whether it be steak or whatever. And
she would know
what was going on.
That's hilarious. So
she got cats and she got dogs and she got rabbits. So no, it was something that I've always had a passion for. I always had a wonderful affinity for animals. I think I must have been about 4 or 5 years old. I brought a little rabbit in and I think I hid that rabbit for about three or four days. My mother was a supporter. She loves animals also. So I didn't want my father to know. I'd say, please don't tell Daddy. You know, I have this little dog. Please, can we keep him? Can you talk him into it? But we traveled a lot. You know, my father was in the Air Force, and so she would say, what's going to happen to the dog? You know, when we leave, and I would say, well, we're going to bring him with us. But I would somehow give them, I'd find a home for them, and the people would usually take them in. I was pretty persuasive.
That's so great. One tragedy in this country that goes on that we're trying to turn around is the euthanasia of healthy animals in shelters. And, you know, not enough people are choosing adoption. These are great animals at shelters.
Let me tell you, rescue animals are so appreciative, and they know, for some reason, they know they have been rescued. I have rescue dogs. I have 5 dogs.
What kind?
I don't know. Actually, I have a Boston Terrier. I took 2 dogs from probably one of the worst cases of hoarding in Mississippi. I have a girlfriend who actually, we've adopted a couple of horses from her rescued adopted horses, of which we took at Graceland. She told me about this case, and she said, oh my gosh, it was horrible. I mean, all kinds of animals. And I took one look at the Boston Terrier who she sent a picture of me. I had lost one, and she sent me that one. And so I said, what else do you have? And she goes, we have them all adopted out except for one. And I said, what is he? And she said, a pit bull mix. And I went, oh boy, you know, if I don't take that pit bull, gang members or, you know, the wrong crowd will get a hold of that dog, and that's going to be it. So I said, okay, I'll take him, and I'll find a home for him. And I met her in Flagstaff, Arizona, with the 2 dogs, and I drove them back. And I have to tell you, that little pit mix or lab mix, he was a wild child. Oh, my God, he was tied up to the doghouse since he was 3 months old. I got him at about 9 months old. And it took a little bit of training, but I have the best dog in the world. He is so, wants to please so much.
Wow. And it's so good of you to persevere.
You have to build the trust again, and you have to do it slowly. It can't just happen at once. And I'm sure he was left alone, and he had bites and scratches all over him, so other animals were nipping at him. So he doesn't like staying out. You know, he likes to come in, which is fine. He has the free rein. But he's, and my little Boston is great. And I have another Boston and a French bulldog and a English bulldog.
And you know, the data show, Priscilla, that only 30% of dogs in people's homes come from shelters or rescue situations. So 70% of people are getting dogs from other situations. All we have to do is get that number up to 45%. We don't need everyone to adopt in order to eliminate euthanasia, but just if we get a percentage of the people who are out in the market for going to a shelter rescue group, we can stop euthanasia of these healthy animals.
Oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine. I can't even go by a shelter and know that there's so many beautiful animals in there that are healthy, desperately need a home. You know, it is a crime that we don't have more people adopting.
We'll continue our conversation with Priscilla Presley later in the program. In a few moments, Dr. Gary Weitzman will join us with answers to your questions about pets and wildlife. First, let's meet our animal of the week. This bird is the only alpine parrot in the world. It's one of the most intelligent avians, able to solve problems and use tools. Can you guess the name of this rare species? We'll have the answer at the end of today's program. Next week in the Animal House.
Zombies are bees that have been infected by a particular kind of fly that specializes in parasitizing bees. And those parasitized honeybees act strangely and have sort of zombie-like behavior.
We hear about the unusual predicament of an insect and its flight of the living dead next week in the Animal House.